You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come over to the site now, check out what we have there. I have a final mock draft there coming up. We have some tweaks there from what I have in the past, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that on today's show. The second half, pick 17 through 32 of my first round mock there, my final here for fantasy football purposes here, and then we'll talk about the real draft coming up here to end the week as we have the results of the first, second, and third round. So a little special change up of the schedule this week because of coming off the vacation and going into the draft, the actual results and all the analysis you're looking for here all across the Locked On Network will be part of it here and bring you that analysis. So let's dive right into pick number 17. I have Cleveland Farrell, the defensive end from Clemson, going to the Giants. He could play a little outside linebacker, but that would mean we have Quinnen Williams and Cleveland Farrell. Not a bad combination. Two guys from the national championship game on the defensive line. Two true guys to really change the look of that defensive front for the Giants here. And Giants need to get back to that defense. We know every time they tap back into the defensive line and have success that way, rushing the passer, stopping the run, that's when they win championships, and that's been the backbone of their teams that do that in 2007 there in 2011. 6'4", 264 for Cleveland Farrell. Good plug and play. I think the Giants, you'd have to start considering being a little bit more of a force. I know they lost to Olivier Vernon and Landon Collins and some pieces, but they would have some building blocks there to be a good fantasy football defense in time here with Williams and Farrell. Next pick will affect, of course, fantasy football. Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama, going to the Vikings. And this is a great pick if they can get him or Cody Ford there that falls to him. But Williams, I really like him. Strong pass protector, 6'4", 302. Can really help Kirk Cousins stay upright. Really also help Dalvin Cook. You can plug him in on the right side and get some good value for him immediately there. And this is a team that's still built to win now with how much they're paying Cousins and a lot of their veterans on defense. So they're going to think someone to immediately impact them now versus someone that can help them in the future. And I think Jonah Williams is that player on the outside there that can really do it for them. The next pick I have is 19, Brian Burns, Florida State. He's a guy to watch for immediate impact as well, especially when he lands on this team. That has now Cameron Wake and Harold Landry in the mix in the pass rush. So not a bad Titans pass rush, especially when you have Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease behind it. So Brian Burns had 15.5 sacks last season for the Seminoles. 6'5", 245. Had a great combine. Really looking good. This actually could be late for Burns, given the way that he's played here. But they need to keep addressing that pass rush in Tennessee. They're a defensive-minded, run-heavy team with Vrabel and Pease. And I think Burns can really be that IDP radar if he gets a chance to be a little bit more than a situational pass rusher for the Titans. The next pick I have is Greedy Williams, the LSU cornerback, going to the Steelers at number 20. Now, Greedy Williams, again, you put him with Joe Hayden, also a replacement for Joe Hayden, 6'2", 185. Their type of corner, big, long, lean, 6'2", 185. As I said, speed, quickness, agility. Not always the most physical player, but he's the type of guy that's going to be sound there for Mike Tomlin on the back end and really help them cover more of the field with Joe Hayden. So that allows them to blitz a little bit more as well. So the Steelers are going to be drawn to a cornerback most, assuming Devin White and Devin Bush are off the board and Greedy Williams is there as arguably the best corner in this draft still. And not as high on all the corners in this draft, but still I really like Greedy Williams. I don't think he's lost his ground in that particular spot. At number 21, we'll look at the Seahawks. Now the Seahawks have two picks. We'll talk about the second pick and how they got that. For Frank Clark was traded to the Chiefs there with this one, so they need a pass rusher. Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech, he's their type of player. A lot of Frank Clark in him in a younger, cheaper package there. So this is a good move for the Seahawks for sure. He's a very explosive. They're 6'5", 259, can also stop the run naturally, which is an important thing for the Seahawks and their defense. So that would be a good pickup for them as they try to rebuild the pieces and try to get back to being a special defense there under Pete Carroll. So you look at it so far, I mean, a lot of these teams could think offense, and I only have one offensive pick so far in Jonah Williams, but that's the way the first round is going to go. A lot of it is going to be defensive-minded, and that's what we're looking at more and more with these particular picks, and that's what you're seeing develop here on the second half of the first round for sure. And Ferguson kind of falls in line with that as a pass rusher that a little bit boom or bust, some off-field things are going on with him, but the Seahawks are riskier than most. We know that to make some moves in the first round. The next guy I'll talk about is Garrett Bradbury, the center from NC State. You're looking at a guy that you can plug and play. He's going to be an excellent center for many years to come here in Baltimore. So I think he's a guy, wherever he goes, it's going to be very special because he's just solid as a rock here. Smarts, toughness, power, agility, you name it, he's got it. It's a very specific position he plays, and that could hurt his value a little bit. But I want to see Bradbury in front of Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram, and it'd be a great thing to see that the Ravens stick with his power running game identity. And I think Garrett Bradbury can play a lot into that mix for sure. At number 23, you have the Texans, Caleb McGarry, another offensive lineman, a tackle from Washington. Caleb McGarry starting to climb aboard. It's very athletic guy, 6'7", 317, massive frame, can put on the left side, be that replacement they've been looking for a while for Dwayne Brown after they traded him to the Seahawks. So there's that. So the Texans and McGarry more and more lining up as a pick here. And they could think about corner, but the cornerback values may not be exactly what they want here. And offensive tackle has been a glaring need for them for a while. Deshaun Watson sacked more than anybody else in the league last year. 62 times. So they need to go in a different direction there for sure to help shore up their quarterback and also help their run blocking as well because it struggled as well. Opening holes for Lamar Miller and whoever else they try to plug in there. At number 24, we have the Raiders' second pick here from the Bears. I like them taking Byron Murphy, the corner from Washington. So defense, I think, is going to at least be two-thirds of the Raiders' haul here in the first round. Murphy, 5'11", 190. They like Gerrion Conley on one side. I think you have two pretty good corners there that, if you think about it, if they get Josh Allen early in the draft, that's a good kind of combination for them. Pass rush and pass coverage. So the Raiders are definitely going to be thinking a lot about defense here early in the draft, and they'll keep offense in mind as well, but some things have to be moved there. If they're going to go with Kyler Murray, they got to move Derek Carr. If they're going to go wide receiver, I don't think that's going to be as much the case anymore. They could look at tight end there with T.J. Hockenson or Noah Fant, but there are many ways the Raiders can go, but I think defense is going to be the priority here for John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and Paul Gunther. Now we'll be right back in a moment to break down the rest of the second half of my first round latest and probably last mock draft for sporting news. But I got to tell you this, if you're not downloading your podcast through Himalaya, you're just doing it wrong. It's a great platform for you. I know you can choose many ways to download your podcast, whether it's Apple or Google or however you get your podcast, but Himalaya is the new platform you need to check out. Convenient, easy delivery of your favorite shows, whether it's Locked On Fantasy Football, any show on the Locked On Network, or any podcast in general, Himalaya is the way to download our shows and get them in the best format so you're not missing a show and getting the best insight delivered to you on a regular basis. And make sure that you're subscribing to as many Locked On podcasts as you can. Remember, in addition to our NFL shows, we've got Locked On MLB type shows. We've got Locked On NBA, full swing in the playoffs. So you got regular season playoffs heating up in both sports there. And you definitely want to check out all the shows and whatever show you're listening to, download it through the Himalaya platform. We'll be right back here to start looking at picks number 25 through 32. All right, let's look at our next pick here. We go back to skill position and Marquise Brown. I gave him to the Philadelphia Eagles. They got Deshaun Jackson back. Alshon Jeffrey, of course, we know they have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, but they want to throw the ball downfield. They need some more guys to do that. DeSean Jackson is a good home run hitter, but they need a little bit more beyond that. Marquise Brown is a guy that they can stash there. I think the Eagles don't have to force themselves into drafting for need here. We were tying them to Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama, a lot, but then they went out and traded for Jordan Howard. I think that's more than sufficient for their committee approach with their running backs to have Howard in front of it as the early down guy to replace Jay Ajayi. So I think more so if they're going to look skill position and they go offense instead of defense, they look at Marquise Brown. They are bringing back DeSean Jackson, as I said, but they want some more of that home run ability, really be able to stretch the field. They're a little bit disappointed with Nelson Agholor there in the slot. He kind of faded last year, so Jackson's on the older side as well. So they're going to need to have that longer-term replacement. And remember, Jeffrey's getting up there as well. So Marquise Brown, 5'9", 166, a flying guy that can put all over the field and make plays. And Carson Wentz certainly is not going to complain about this pick. And I think it's going to be hard and fancy for Brown with all those other mouths to feed in the mix. But in terms of reality, this is a pretty good pick for the Eagles. Number 26, I still have the Colts taking Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle from Clemson. And they really need a big run-stopping body, 6'4", 342. They already got Marcus Hunt up front. Justin Houston was signed as well. Anthony Walker, Darius Leonard on the second level. So Dexter Lawrence, that big body occupying blockers and helping them stuff the run would be a great, great pick for the Colts. At number 27, we go back to offense and the Raiders with their third pick from the Cowboys, Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama. It's pretty clear Marshawn Lynch is not coming back. They haven't signed Doug Martin. They need a starting running back here. 5'10", 222 for Jacobs. Good all-around complete back here. And to me, he's a no-brainer. If he goes to the Raiders, a team that doesn't really have a back right now other than Jalen Richard, your change of pace back, he's going to be the number one fantasy pick among rookies for sure. A borderline RB1 even. That's how good I think this position could be for Jacobs. We'll have to see if this pick really comes to fruition, and we're going to back that up with our rankings and our post-first-round draft analysis shows here, so keep that in mind. But Jacobs, I really like Jacobs. I think just maybe not as big and as strong as those other guys, Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley, but can get plenty of the job done. Compact frame, can run hard, do all the little things, stay on the field as a receiver as well. So workhorse potential there for Josh Jacobs there at number 27. At number 28, we have Jerry Tillery, the defensive tackle at Notre Dame, going to the Chargers, and 6'6", 295. So a good inside pass rushing beast. This would only boost the value of the Chargers defense as a fantasy force with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Their gaggle of safeties, they're pretty good coverage. They got a lot of playmakers on this team. Tillery would add to that. He was very productive as an inside pass rusher. That's going to help Ingram and Bosa be more productive as well. So this could be a very fun defense that borderline dominant here with Tillery in the mix and the inside there. Think about the Jaguars, what they had a few years ago, running this type of scheme, the Gus Bradley type of deal there, Seattle spin on this defense. Tillery there could really push this team to next level. They already lost Darius Phylon there, but I think Tillery could be a great replacement for him and to really make the Chargers a lot more productive defensively and very pleasing in fantasy as an overall unit, as well as Tillery having some boost on the IDP potential of Bosa and Ingram. At number 29, this is the big trade that happened. The Chiefs got rid of this pick number 29, traded to the Seahawks for Frank Clark, the pass rusher defensive end. I think the Seahawks could look at a safety now. If they get a second pick here, which they do have now, I like the pass rusher at some point. They have to look at safety as well. I think Abram was going to be hard to take Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State if this was the only pick they had, whether and if it was 21 that they had. But at 29, you can feel better about making that pick. 5'11", 205 pounds, physical run defender. Very similar to what they had in Cam Chancellor. Put him in the box, strong safety. I know they have Bradley McDougal there, but they could use an upgrade. And they kind of put in McDougal as your stopgap to Chancellor. They also lost Earl Thomas, so maybe McDonald or McDougal to kind of slips over to Earl Thomas' side. They also like Tedrick Thompson a little bit, but regardless, the Seahawks need an upgrade with Thomas and Chancellor both gone. And I think there are some potential for Abram to develop into an Earl Thomas-like player. Right now, he's a physical upfield guy making tackles against the run. And this is very good for Ken Norton Jr. as they change up their defense and their play calling one yet again in Seattle. So, again, the NFL draft is here, and I got to recommend you have to listen to our flagship shows here that were Locked On NFL as well as Locked On NFL Draft and the spinoff draft podcast, the Draft Dude Show, all from the Draft Network. So good insight there. We had a really successful mock draft across the network with our team-by-team podcast chiming in there and making their picks to help our main guys do their thing. And it was a great event pulled off by us really well, and hope you can tap into that. And you can still catch up with that before the 2019 NFL Draft. So check that out and make sure you're sticking with those podcasts all through that weekend to get the ultimate insight overall on what happened in the draft and as well as the team-by-team results and analysis. And we'll have a lot more of that here on this show as well. We'll be right back here to look at picks 30 to 32 in my final mock draft here for Locked On Fantasy Football in 2019. All right, let's look at the final few picks here, and they're all offensive, and it's the Packers, Rams, and Patriots picking last. The Packers picked this pick up from the Saints last year in the Marcus Davenport trade during the draft. Irv Smith, the tight end of Alabama. Now, we've heard a lot about Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson being in play for the Packers, and they could certainly take Hawkinson earlier with that first pick that I had them taking Devin Bush. They could also be looking at Fant here. But I think Irv Smith is the best of both worlds because I think he's the second best overall tight end. He still is a pretty good receiver. He can help them in the running game for Aaron Jones. He can be a good security blanket and complementary receiver to Davante Adams there underneath. 6'2", 242, still developing as a receiver, but very good blocker. You can plug him in and start him right away. He gives you more than Jimmy Graham in that aspect where he can stay on the field as a blocker. Is not a liability. Then he can slide out and make some catches there. Now they've tried to get by with Mercedes Lewis and Lance Kendricks and Graham, but they need to get younger at this position. Irv Smith complete there. And I think in time, it may not be right away this year as they sort out the other receivers with Adams, but he could be the number two target to Adams here because, again, a lot of young receivers trying to figure them out, all the draft picks from last year. But Irv Smith would be a great pickup for the Packers here and intriguing for sure. And I think he would definitely be up in fantasy value. It doesn't matter if it's Fant or Hawkinson or Smith. They definitely all have some value here if they would end up on Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers' presence, the passing game, Matt LaFleur opening things up, unlike the way that Mike McCarthy did, using his best skilled players. So if they invest a first-round pick on a tight end, I would expect the Packers to do everything they can to get that pick involved. At number 31, I have the Rams taking Eric McCoy, the center from Texas A&M. I also would see them having Garrett Bradbury on the radar should the Ravens not go in that direction. They could also look at Dalton Risner or another offensive lineman, but they did lose John Sullivan there and Larger Saffold. They need some inside help. 6'4", 303, plug him in. And you need this continuity to stay there with the Rams as they're trying to win now with this team, and McCoy would do that. I mean, I think you can look at him. He is a borderline first-round talent there to me, McCoy, so it's not that much of a reach, if at all, for the Rams to go in this direction with this pick. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the pick. I think they could also think defense, edge, pass rusher, look at a defensive tackle as well, maybe take a chance on Jeffrey Simmons there from Mississippi State, but I think this is a more logical approach for the Rams. Again, they have so many different directions they can go into. I think their pick has to be tailored, however, to doing something now. That means either a defensive tackle to replace Ndamukong Suh on the interior or someone to replace Sullivan or Saffold on the interior of their offensive line when you have still the edges intact with Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein. You got to work on the inside to help Todd Gurley and whoever they're trying to balance out the running game with going forward, whether it's John Kelly or someone else, getting those key touches as a backup back. And they could be definitely in the market for a backup back in this particular draft as well to look at for the Rams. And finally, 32, we've circled back to an offensive player for the Patriots. It's not a tight end. It's not Noah Fant. With both Hawkinson and Smith off the board, it's A.J. Brown, the wide receiver Ole Miss. This pick has been starting to gain steam here. Brown had been in the first round for me in the mock for a while, but he kind of disappeared when I thought that a lot of the wide receivers that we had earlier, J.J. Arcega, Whiteside, and Kelvin Harmon, that was going to be his wide receiver early heavy in this draft. But A.J. Brown, 6'0", 223, he's the Patriots type player because he's got strength, quickness, smarts, runs routes really well, inside or outside. A lot of Julian Edelman in him. I know they already have a Julian Edelman, but Edelman's getting older. They need some other options. They can't count on Josh Gordon being a factor as well here because of all the off-field thing. They're giving him a chance to do so, but A.J. Brown can solve those issues at least for the short term. Plug him in there, and I think he could start right away and be effective with Edelman. They're interchangeable with Edelman. That makes it harder even to cover the Patriots wide receivers when you have two guys that can line up inside or outside, do some special things, stay strong, be fearless, run quick, precise routes, get open for Tom Brady early in the short to intermediate passes. So something that you definitely look at for sure on this particular team, and that's what you're looking at here in New England. So overall, you look at the Patriots, I think this makes a lot of sense to maybe go in this direction, change the way they look at their offense. They did lose Chris Hogan there as well from what they were doing offensively. So A.J. Brown, 6'0", 223, a lot of big playability there for the Patriots, and that would be just a solid, smart overall pick to get going for the Patriots. They rebuild and kind of take their offense in a new direction without Rob Gronkowski. So there you have it. There's a look at the second half of the first round of my final mock draft there. We'll break down things for you once we have the real details here in our next couple shows, Thursday after that with the first round picks, and Friday after that, the second and third round picks. So look for those shows as well as a more fancy football specific rankings breakdown early next week as well. So that's how we'll do these shows here with the draft here. We're excited about it. Can't wait. We're getting a lot of potential scenarios for these teams, and things have changed consistently. But all I know is a lot of offenses will be improved and their fantasy outlooks will be turned on their head here after the weekend. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time for our first round analysis show.